The book of Exodus, chapter 3. If you want to follow along, it's right behind me here on the wall. Or it's in page 56 of the Pew Bibles. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jericho, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush doesn't burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of Israel has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, "The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and I have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery into Egypt, into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey."
Last week we were discussing Jesus coming in to Jerusalem, and all the people were saying, "Holy, glory, Hosanna." And we talked about how the different people probably had very different expectations of who this person was. Was he going to be the king? What does the king of God mean? Most of them were thinking of a political king, a military king that would just set the boundaries again. because they were in misery. We hear these echoes all the way back from the time of Moses, where he was once in Egypt and now he's no longer there because he was afraid of dying at the hands of the Egyptians himself, and he leaves and he escapes his own misery. What are the miseries you're struggling with today? What are the sufferings that you might be enduring or knowing that others around you are enduring that impacts you as well? And oftentimes we can cry out. And have you ever cried out, kind of like the Israelites? They're crying out, you know, I hate this place. I hate my boss. I hate this job. I hate my life.
I hear you. I will deliver you. I will lead you.
You'll lead us. Well, I just want you to know, I'm not the only one. You know, all of us think the same thing. So where are you going to deliver us?
To a land of milk and honey.
Well, where exactly is that land?
Just a few days away.
Well, that's nice, but I'd like to know more. Exactly where are we going? Well, you know, any time we look around this place, anywhere we look, there's always obstacles. If we go west, there's desert. South, there's mountains. East, man, there's just so many things. Can't you explain a little bit more?
Don't worry about it. I created all of it. I know where I want to take you and how to get there.
Well, I appreciate the deliverance and all, but how about if you deliver us from the Egyptians and we stay here, just make them nicer?
I have a land I promised Abraham that his offspring will inhabit as a nation. I want my people to be a blessing to the world.
Well, that's nice and all, but you know, Abraham's not here anymore. And, you know, about this place that you want us to go, we'll have to leave everything we know. Everything that we find comfortable, we'll have to leave our homes, we'll have to leave our jobs.
I thought you didn't like your job.
Yeah, that's true. Well, so we're going to have to travel. Are we walking? What about all my stuff? How am I going to take all my stuff? What about food? What about where are we going to sleep? And you know, you look around, there's not a whole lot of places for water. And have you ever seen those desert spiders? Ugh!
You need to trust me, and I will provide.
Well, you say we're going to this land, and there's people already there. We're just going to go into their land and take it over? I mean, aren't they going to hate us for this?
Don't worry about that.
Well, wait. What if, think about this one. What if we just get rid of the Egyptians, we stay here, we won't have to worry about leaving our homes, we know where to get the food, we got plenty of water, everything will be okay, just the thing that oppresses us will be gone, and we can enjoy our life, and you know how people get cranky when they travel.
You don't want to go?
Well, I just don't understand why your way is better than my way. I think I've thought it through.
You think.
So the story of the Egyptians is not much different from the story when the Israelites were in the promised land, which is not a whole lot different from us who look around and see all the challenges, maybe going through various miseries, knowing that God could do something about it and saying, God, you should do it this way because, you know, I've thought it through and it makes sense to me. And how often does that cause you distress because the way you think it should be done, God's just not doing it that way. So what does it call us to do? Is to remember the same God that heard the cries of the Egyptians or the Israelites when they were being persecuted by the Egyptians, the same people who were crying out for God to send his Messiah to drive out the Romans, the same God who is in the midst of our lives, who knows the challenges that we go through uniquely to us and maybe similar to everyone else around us, that this God still exists, this God still cares. Because look at what he was saying in these passages of scriptures. I have heard them cry out. What does it say about this God? We have to figure out what's in his name. He says, I am the I am, the ever existing one, the one who creates all things. This God hears you when you cry out. This God is concerned about your suffering. And we think, well, if you're concerned about it, do something about it. He says, in my time. You go, but I think I've thought this through. He says, but I have a plan. I will come and rescue you. God's desire is for you. Then I will bring you out to a good and spacious land. The hard part for us is patience. The hard part for us is trusting God's response, that he is responsive to us. He says to Moses, I will send you. But Moses says, who will I tell him? I'm going to send you with my name. And in my name, I am going to demonstrate power. And I want you to hold on to these things. God's response is consistent through time. I will send you in my name, with power, to change things for people that are in misery. But then Moses, what does he do? He looks internally to his weakness. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring out the Israelites from Egypt? Do you think that too, that this God who created the heavens and the earth, this God who sent Jesus to die on a cross, who demonstrates his love this way, does he actually love me? Yes, he does. And I will deliver you in my name, through my name. And God continues to respond, I am and I will be with you. And that's the thing that we have to hold on to and remember, that he is and he's with me, even in the midst of not knowing where I'm going, how it's going to turn out. But he goes, I know where I'm going to lead you. Trust the journey. And trust that I will give you the power to endure the journey. God has a means. He does it through miracles. You remember all the things that were done before Pharaoh to finally get the Israelites kicked out. All these signs that this God is more powerful than any of their gods, because these miracles are attacking their gods. And the God of heaven and earth that created all these different things, he has power over. We should be able to look at that and say, oh, thank God he has power over all these things, that he can intervene in these things. But then this time of the lamb, he sends the Israelites to go get a lamb, take it into your home, because what's going to happen is through this lamb, you're going to be delivered. And they go, what? How is a lamb going to deliver us? He says, well, what you're going to do, you're going to take this lamb and you're going to sacrifice it. And not just this lamb, but this lamb's blood. You're going to put it on your doorposts. And I'm going to punish the people who are punishing you. I'm going to make things right. And you're going, but how are you going to do it this way? He goes, don't worry about it. Just trust me. And they take the blood and they put it around the doorpost. And then he says, okay, now that the blood is there, now you eat this lamb. You roast this lamb. And with your family, you eat this lamb. You take unleavened bread and you eat that. Because one of the things that's going to happen, this blood is going to protect you. And this meal is going to sustain you. Because you're going on a journey. Hold on to those two things. This blood is going to protect you. This meal is going to sustain you. And then he tells them, you're going on a journey. I've never been there before. What's it going to be like? Don't worry. Trust me. And as they leave Egypt, and all of a sudden they're filled with fear as the Egyptians come after them and they're pinned in by the Red Sea, thinking that they're going to die. You just brought us out here to die. And says, no, trust God's power. And the people had to respond to God's ability. God is responsible to us. And he uses his ability for us. But we have to trust him. We have to obey him. And wait when he says go, to go. When he says stay, stay, but trust. He says you need to go away from everything you know. But that's hard, isn't it? We get comfort in the things that we know. He says, but trust that I'm taking you to something better. But I don't know what that's like. Trust me. He says, and then you have to go through the trials. You have to go through my shaping of you and my trust of you. You have to go through the waters. And it's interesting how Paul uses this idea that in Moses, they were baptized through the sea with the cloud above and through the waters on either side. They were baptized into Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. They were becoming the people of God, no longer the people of oppression in Egypt, the people of God, his holy nation, that he's going to be a light to all the other nations. They became something. And isn't it interesting that this thing about sustaining them, who's sustaining them on this journey? God is doing it. He goes, this all of you ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. The old story made new again. It's this God is ever working in the story for the deliverance of his people by the power of his name. And he says, go, go. And they go into the land, and do they become the nation that God wanted them to be? Well, for a while and for a time, but most of the time it just, they kept going back into, but I want, I need my way. I think I've thought it through. God says, oh, if you could just trust that this land that you embraced, that you sent spies into, and you said, oh, the food is abundant. The homes are spectacular. We can just move in. And they took it for granted. And isn't that a challenge for us too? That when God delivers us in various ways, that, you know, when we're sick, we're saying, God, help me. And then he heals us and we go, thank you. And then we go about our life until we're sick again. And then we say, God, help us. He says, no, I want you to remember how I delivered you. I know it's hard for you. But I'm walking with you and I will sustain you. God responds again by sending Jesus when the time was right. Right for who? Right for God. Remember that. God acts when the time is right for him, not when the time is right in our mind. And we just trust that in our time, we remain faithful. He says, I'm going to send this son who is born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoptions as of his children, his sonships, daughtership, being called his family. And I will send you with my name. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And in my name, you will demonstrate power. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? In the one who bears the name. The one who bears the power accepts fully what God will do through him for us. For I have come in my Father's name, and you will accept, you don't accept me, but if someone else comes in his own name, you'll accept them. And Jesus is saying, I don't get it. But in God's name, Jesus will do miracles. That if you're the Christ, they say, tell us plainly. Well, I did tell you, but you don't believe. Well, the miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. Do not believe me unless I do what the Father does. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe in the miracles. Believe in the name of the one who does the miracles, who sustains these miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father, that I am his name bearer. And it's interesting, and when Jesus is raising Lazarus out of the tomb, he prays to the Father, let them see that you and I are one. When Peter goes into the temple and the man is lame, he says, I have no money for you, but what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus. And the guy rises up and he can walk. And they go before the authorities and say, how does this guy walk? He says, he walks by the name of Jesus. There is power in that name. There is power in this lamb. Because we come and we celebrate. And Jesus celebrates Passover. We celebrate the Lord's Supper. Look at all those connections between the bread and the fruit of the vine. The bread representing his body. The blood representing the sign of forgiveness. Remember forgiveness and sustaining? Eat this lamb to sustain you on your journey. Feed on me and I will be with you. I will sustain you. And my blood is the thing that saves you. And Jesus takes this Passover meal and he takes the awesome meaning of deliverance and he ramps it up and say, I am your deliverer. I am God incarnate. And you just embrace me and let me lead you to where God is taking you, to that land flowing with milk and honey. John recognized Jesus as the lamb. As he's walking along in his ministry, John points out, there he is, the Lamb of God who comes to save the world. And while Jesus is eating the Passover meal, Jesus takes the bread, he gives thanks, and he breaks it. This is my body. He took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Why? Why is Jesus doing this? What does he say? For the forgiveness of sin. For the most important misery that we have in the hopes of eternity, a broken relationship with a holy God. And Jesus says, I have come down to take care of that for you. You don't need to worry about it. My blood will save you. My blood will protect you. You serve me. You feed on me. And I will lead you back to the garden where God wanted you from the beginning of time. And we see Peter when the people are crying out about who this Jesus is and what they're doing with all these speaking in tongues and what's actually happening on Pentecost. And he finally tells them, this Jesus who you crucified is the Messiah. And they go, oh, what should we do? He says, repent. Turn away from that thinking that of doing it yourself and start following Jesus. Look at the connections here. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of sins. And what will happen? You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will have his name and you will gain that power of Christ. So on this journey that we're taking, he says, you're not doing it alone and you're not doing it by your own power. John says, on the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were together. The doors were locked and the Jewish leaders, they were hiding from the Jewish leaders. Jesus comes, stands among them. This is after he's resurrected, saying, see, they don't have power over me. Nothing does. And they won't have power over you if you let me have power over you, for you, and through you. And the disciples are overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And he says, please, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. Just as the Father sent Moses for the miseries of the people to deliver them, Even though he didn't think he had the knowledge, the means, or the ability, he says, don't worry, you're going in my name. Just as he sent Jesus, he says, I empower my son and my son will empower you. And Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Spirit, because under our own power, under our own wisdom, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know where we're going. But praise be to God, he does. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations in my name, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you to the end of the age. And in their obedience and in their commitment, they end up in the land of promise. So just as Moses leads them to the shores of the Jordan River, and just as they cross the rivers and the waters separate, they're going into the land flowing with milk and honey. And for us, we're on this journey when we go through the waters of baptism, like they went through the waters of the Red Sea. We go on this journey sustained by the will of God. But we know that just as the Israelites can stop trusting this God's leadership, so can we. But we have to keep remembering the reason that allowed the Israelites to keep going forward is because they were looking more about where they were going than where they have come from. Lot's wife became a pillar of salt because she looked back to what was, as opposed to trusting on what God will do and who they would be. And the same is for us too. We have to not look back because God is doing a new thing for us. So how do we journey in this life now as lights in his name, for his name? It says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, fully sacrificing self, knowing that God would glorify him eventually, so that God will glorify us eternally. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus, and at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. There will be a day when we are all before Jesus. We will know exactly who he is. And many of us will praise God because of the name that saved us. And other people will say, oh, you're the one. And how sad that will be. But when Jesus sends us, he sends us like he sent people who told us about Jesus, so that when they are before him, their knees will bow, but their knees will bow in glory and in worship rather than sorrow and in desperation. So we go out with the power of God, in the name of God, knowing that God wins ultimately in this life. So the challenge before us is, how do we live well on this journey to remember where God is leading us, so that we can remember whose name we bear and whose light we shine? And then when we're in our times of sorrow and misery and being overwhelmed, knowing that this God cares and that he has delivered me from the thing that separates me from life, which is most important to God, let that be most important to me. And help that to lift my eyes off of my present circumstance, knowing that he will heal me, maybe now, and I can rejoice. He might not heal me now, and I can remain faithful and rejoice. But knowing when all is said and done, I can say I represented him well to the best of my ability through his power, not mine. And he will look at us on that great and glorious day when Jesus returns again. Say, well done, good and faithful servant. That is the hope of Easter. That is the hope that I hope that you walk out of here that will sustain you, not just today, but tomorrow this week and next, remembering back that we are community of God, for God, bearers of His name, for His kingdom's sake. And we go, but who am I? And God says, you're my child. You bear my name. Praise God. And we do this because He lives. And He can live in us. If you need the prayers of the community, if you want to know more about what it means to become a follower of Jesus, come and find me and we'll talk. But whatever your need is, now you can come forward and we can pray with you as we stand and give God praise.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and